Good morning. Amen. It's really good to see Nick Davis up here this morning. Amen. And always good to see Aaron McCray up here. So those are brothers, man. The Lord's good to us, right? Well, it's good to see you this morning. And to see you, to interact with you and be brothers and sisters and friends with you. We're very, very blessed. And today I want to share a little bit with all of us. I want us to share together in the Word. Toward next week, which would be Thanksgiving this Thursday and then into our service next week, maybe, and I'm trusting that the Lord will get our hearts ready for this holiday, as we call it, but an everyday life of Thanksgiving. So let's pray together before we get started. Father, I'm so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the day, God. Thank you for your love that is always reaching to us, for your presence that's always around, for your spirit that's always leading us. God, you are so good. You are our very life, God. You're everything to us. And though sometimes and often we're distracted, and we're double-minded, limping along, Father, we know you are the one. You're the only one. And so, God, today I pray that you would help us to get to better places, help us to grow stronger in you. Thanks for great worship, Father. We're thankful Nick's back. We're thankful for the worship leaders that are always here. Thank you for healing him up. That was a pretty scary situation. But you are always, always good. And, Father, for those who are hurting and struggling, we pray for blessing today. And, Lord, I pray that today you move me out of the way and that you honor yourself and that when we leave here today, that the name on our lips is yours. And we love you very much. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So in honor of Thanksgiving and that I'm such a great joke teller, I thought I would share a few jokes with you this morning. These aren't groaners, so don't start with the groaning already, all right? Give a guy a chance, all right? Where do you find a turkey with no legs? Exactly where you left him. Come on. You guys are brighter than this. That was an easy one. What do you call it when it rains turkeys? Foul weather. Oh, no, smile. You got groan about yourself. You should have this by Jeff and Addy, you got to help us out, man. Why did the turkey sit on the tomahawk? To hatch it. Come on. Rich, man, you're better than this. Come on. Now, this is an old one. I used this a few years ago, so you need to get this one. What did the mama turkey say to her rebellious son? If your father could see you now, he would roll over in his gravy. Come on. You guys, you're groaning. You're not laughing much. What do you get when you cross a turkey with an octopus? You ladies are going to love this. Enough drumsticks for the whole family. Because there's, lots of, man. So Thanksgiving. Man, we love Thanksgiving, don't we? I see you guys smiling. You don't want to laugh because you're like, I'm not going to be the one laughing at this. But I know all about you. Tell me in the back, those are my favorite jokes. I know, and you'll tell your neighbors and friends. Anyway, so I'm thinking about Thanksgiving. I know Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. Christmas is my favorite holiday, but Thanksgiving is really my favorite holiday. Now, you understand what I mean because you know my mind's kind of messed up like that. But I just think that we don't, I think we get Christmas right because of Thanksgiving. And both of them were supposed to live all year through. And there's something about Christmas that we're always concerned that it's infringing on Thanksgiving because of Black Friday and everything else. But you know, Black Friday doesn't tell me what to do. Never has. I mean, I feel the pull toward it. I feel like I need to get that deal, and I feel that rush that is that high that the world has taught me to feel when I'm shopping and I'm getting a deal because they want me to spend my money. But it doesn't control Thanksgiving. No matter how much, they could put it at 6 o'clock in the morning. Black Friday starts 6 o'clock Thanksgiving morning, and it'll be up to you whether or not you're thankful and you spend time with your family. It's just a really big deal. So I'm hearing people everywhere all upset about Thanksgiving, and Black Friday's moving in on it. And I'm like, no, it's not. It never will. Never will. Because those who look at God, those who seek him and want to know him, will always be thankful. Always be thankful. So here's something that I will share with you that I truly believe. Being thankful, living in gratitude, can change the world and this church. Because it starts by changing me. And that's the beginning of a foundational move that truly allows God to make all the other changes in me. It's the beginning of real life. And I have evidence to prove that to you. Lots of evidence. It's the beginning of real life. Thanksgiving, foundational to everything about you. And I believe without gratitude that we are limping along on a weak faith. And if you wonder why, that you can't get to loving like you're supposed to, and you can't get to forgiving like you're supposed to, and you wonder why can't I just get along with people like we're supposed to? Well, let's just back it all the way up to finding out the truth about our lives, who we were, and what God did for us on the cross. And gratitude is the first move. And on gratitude, everything else is built. The problem is, so much has gotten in the way that we've forgotten about gratitude. I've forgotten about gratitude. I speak for all of you. Sorry. I've forgotten about gratitude, and I've built on a terrible foundation. And so I'm trying to grow in love, but gratitude's not there. And I'm trying to grow in grace, but gratitude's not, in forgiveness, and gratitude's not there. I'm trying to learn to get past me, but gratitude's not there. And as long as gratitude is not there, I will never build, God will never be able to build me into the person he's called me to be. Let's start in Luke 17. Great passage. Excuse me. It should be on the screen. There we go. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Awesome story, man. Jesus is traveling along, and these 10 men who have leprosy approach him, "Have pity on us. Go show yourselves to the priest." They do exactly what he said. They go, and as they're going, they're healed. One of them comes back. Where are the other 9? Has only one? In one version it says, has only one had the decency to come back and thank me? Get up and go. Your faith has healed you, or your faith has made you well. You can move on, Jake. Thank you. So here's a story, a very interesting story about gratitude, about all things being thankful. And the story doesn't really lend into much about the other 9, and we are, it's very clear to us that they were healed because the scripture says they were healed. They acted on faith and they were healed. The passage here, we need to understand if we're going to see it well. The passage isn't really introducing us to anything about Jesus, except for Jesus as being Jesus. He's awesome. He does what he does. Everything submits to God. And so when these guys show up with leprosy, they're going to be healed. What the passage is introducing us to is 10 lepers and the hearts of 10 men. They're healed, which is awesome, which says they heard Jesus. They heard what they were called to do, and they went and did it. Only one came back. Only 10 heard and did the right thing, or did what they were supposed to do. Only one did the righteous thing. He came back, and he said, "Thanks." And it's interesting, if you want to look into what the story is of the Samaritans, if you want some information on them, because you need it to understand the story a bit more. The Samaritans, they were really, really... they were hated by the Jews, and they didn't like the Jews either. The Jews being God's people, the Samaritan, they were those who didn't get taken into exile. And while they were not in exile, they intermarried and messed with the law a bit and set up their own temple. And so there was a whole lot of issue with the Samaritans. Jews, on the other hand, their very name meant praise. Well, praise God. Their very name. So we have this outsider, a foreigner, who did exactly did the exact thing of those whose name meant praise. He's the one doing it. That's difficult to stay with. The outsider, the one who is hated, does the very thing that those whose name by definition means praise God, he's the one that did it and did it so much better and righter than them. While they were on their happy, I'm healed way, he was coming back saying thank you. And about what Jesus said to him, and this is really important. And it's very important for us. When he comes back and he falls at Jesus' feet praising God, the words Jesus uses is get up and go. Your faith has healed you. It's what happens to the prodigal son when he's in the pig pen, and he comes to his senses and he gets up, and he heads home to the father. It's what happens to the man who was lowered on a mat by his friends through the roof, and Jesus says, "Get up, take your mat, and walk." Get up, meaning used in the scripture here in Greek, resurrection. It's not just that he's getting up, but he's having new life breathed in him. And so when Jesus looks at this man, nine go their way, and they have experienced healing. One comes back and says thanks, and he experiences new life in Jesus. He experiences real healing. If you stay with the wording, man, it's a powerful, powerful text. And that's what I'm saying in us, what I believe in us. That gratitude, that thanksgiving is the beginning of everything because it's the beginning of life. It's the thing that everything else is built on. When we come back and we come to Jesus and we say, thank you, I see what you did there. I sense what you did there. And we hear the call from him, get up, man. Go your way. Be resurrected into newness. Have a new life. Have a new mind. There's a beauty to all of this, and it's huge. Okay, so it's kind of tacky, but this is one of the best ways I've ever heard to say this. True thanksgiving is thanks living, right? It's a bit tacky, it's kind of but it's really, really a real place to go there. Thanksgiving and gratitude, it must come from somewhere real in me. And if you don't think so, think about this. Remember when your parents used to say, say thank you. Hey, they gave you that. You need to say thanks. Hey, you really need to tell them thanks for that. You remember those times, you know, they're pressing you and teaching you, and then the time when you finally got it, and then you started to say it, and they're like, you forgot to say thanks. It's like, I was going to say thanks, and now you ruined it, right? Because thankfulness needs to come somewhere from within. And whenever I start to express it and you beat me to it, it just kind of washes it all out. Say thank you, but I don't mean it now. What if I told you, ESPN 30 for 30, what if I told you thanksgiving or gratitude was the one spiritual discipline that all others are built on? Like we said before, without it, we are sabotaging our spiritual service. And in doing that, we're losing an incredible weapon in our arsenal for reaching the world for Jesus. What happens with us is whenever we don't live our lives in thanksgiving, we look a whole lot like the rest of the world that's trying to love out of duty, trying to love out of service, trying to love just because it's the right thing to do. And it never just pours out of us well. And so we got this anger seething underneath, and we got this anxiety seething underneath, and we got all this worry and doubt and fear and confusion seething underneath. We got this stuff that someone's going to get mine seething underneath. And so we're always wrestling in this very selfish existence while we're trying to live a Christian life. And the world's going, man, you do a whole bunch of stuff, but you act a whole lot like me. You're not free. And gratitude and thanksgiving gives us a whole different perspective. It's as if it frees us by letting us out of prison. I don't know how many of you saw the movie National Treasure, okay? But this is the image thanksgiving gives in me. This is a tough one, so stay with me for a minute. In National Treasure, Ben has to go to this ship in the middle of some frozen tundra. I don't know if it's permafrost or if it's just a frozen ocean. I can't remember that part of the story. But they have to dig up this old ship, and he finds this pipe in it. And at the time, he thinks the pipe is nothing more than a, it's just giving him enough clues to get to the next clue. So he takes the stem out and he cuts himself and he uses his blood as ink and he rolls the tip of the pipe out or the end of the pipe out and it gives him this place to find another clue. Turns out on the back of the Declaration of Independence, we're not going to go there, whole big hassle, but it's a cool story, right? So he thinks that's it, but he just happens to keep this pipe. The words were the clue that led him to that was the secret lies with Charlotte. Okay, so in your mind, you're thinking all through the movie, man, there's something more to that pipe, but I don't know, you know? And so he's going all through the movie, finding all these clues, and always nothing. And finally, they get to the place where they're sure it is, and they walk into a room. And when they walk into the room, it's clear that people have been in that room as well, but there's no treasure. It's like, man, and they think they found the treasure room. And they're like, yeah, this is great, man. At least you found the treasure room. And that's us about all of this. At least you're in the fight. At least you're battling along. At least you're trying to love. At least you're trying to be free. At least you're trying. And here he is, man. And if you've seen the movie more than once, then you know the trick. The next time you watch it, he's one door away from the treasure. And he's got the very key in his hand, and he doesn't even know it. It's the pipe. The secret lies with Charlotte. It's more than just the little code thing, you know, that led him to another one. It is the very thing that gets him in the room, right? So he's goofing around, and he's all disappointed, and he kind of, you know, someone finds some hope, and he starts thinking, yeah, there's got to be another way out of here, because now they're stuck, and they just need to get out. I know, I'm messing the story all up. So he bumps into this little place in the wall that looks like something probably fits there, and he remembers about the pipe. And it's like cut just like the pipe where you stuff the stuff in that you know. And he says, could it be this easy? Right? And he puts the pipe, inserts the pipe into that little place, turns it, and opens the door. And here's this ridiculous treasure that rewrites all world history. You know, I mean, it's massive and wonderful treasure. And he had the secret with him all along to change everything, to help him to find it, to open the doors. And what I'm saying about gratitude is, your mom and dad told you about it when you were a kid, man. They told you about it when you were little. And all along, it's been the most important thing to opening every door in Christ, to getting you free, to helping you live away from everything that's right or wrong and bad into everything right and good. All right, we've got an exercise to do here. You're welcome. Jake, if you could put this up on the screen. In the movie Madame Blueberry, from the VeggieTales, which all of you know and love. Madame Blueberry is pretty wealthy, and there are people who know she's wealthy, and the Stuff Mart just opens up down the street, and she needs to spend. They convince her she needs to spend a lot of money. It's Black Friday, after all. It wasn't, but you get the point. So as she's going along, she finds this family. She, by the way, wealthy people live in tree houses in Madame Blueberry, and as she's going to the mart, she sees this family who have to live on the ground. They don't have a house in a tree. And it's her birthday, the little girl's birthday. And as Madame Blueberry is walking along, or moving along, bouncing along, because they don't have legs in VeggieTales, as she's bouncing along or hopping along, because she's a blueberry, she's thinking of all the stuff she's going to get and how happy she's going to be when she gets it. And she sees this little girl, and she's taken by her. And she sings this song, I thank God for this day, for the sun and the sky, for my mom and my dad and my piece of apple pie. That's all she had, by the way, for a birthday cake. For a home that's on the ground, for his love that's all around. That's why I say thanks every day. Because a thankful heart is a happy heart. I'm glad for what I have. That's an easy way to start. For the love that he shares because he listens to our prayers. That's why I say thanks every day. She gets to the Stuff Mart, and Junior Asparagus, who is the coolest veggie of all, he's in the Stuff Mart, and he finds this train. He's like, Dad, tell me I can get this. I really want this train. And he's all excited, and Madame Blueberry's watching because she knows if he gets a train, he's going to be happy because stuff makes you happy. And his dad, man, and this just cuts at your heart. He looks at him and says, you know, we really can't get that. That's really expensive, but I can get you a nice ball. And he pauses for a minute. He says, "Thanks, Dad." And he says, "Thank you, Dad." What happens? You're just moving along here, and all of a sudden, emotions, man, wow. "Thank you, Dad, for our day, for a trip to the mall, for the time just with me, for my big red bouncy ball, for the fun that we had. I'm so happy you're my dad." That's why I say thanks every day. And then together they sing the simple song, because a thankful heart is a happy heart. "I'm glad for what I have." It's an easy way to start. "For a God who really cares and he listens to our prayers." That's why I say thanks every day. And as Madame Blueberry finds out, she doesn't have all the money that she thought she had, and everything blows up. She gets too much stuff. Her tree falls out of the treehouse, if I remember, or out of the tree. Her house falls out of the tree and blows everything up. So now she's got nothing, and she's walking along, and here's the little girl and her family sitting at the side of the road there. And so the last scene, you find her singing with them. "We thank God for this day, for the sun in the sky, for the friends that we have, for our yummy apple pie, for the love that he shares because he listens to our prayers." And that's why we say thanks every day, because a thankful heart is a happy heart. We're glad for what we have. That's an easy way to start. "For the love that he shares and he listens to our prayers, that's why we say thanks every day." And at the end, then Bob and Larry come on and say, "Well, so we learned a good lesson today, you know?" And the move in you is supposed to be toward not just saying, "I'm thankful, but being thankful. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song together, okay? How many of you have seen this video? And don't fib, the Lord is watching. Everybody who's seen Madame Blueberry, all right, you're going to help them sing this, and then you just sing right along, okay? "We thank God for this day, for the sun in the sky, for the friends that we have, for our yummy apple pie, for the love that he shares because he listens to our prayers. That's why we say thanks every day, everybody, because a thankful heart is a happy heart. I'm glad for what I have. That's an easy way to start. For a God who really cares and he listens to our prayers. That's why we say thanks every day. That's why we say thanks every day." Isn't that a cool song? I think I saw Dewey and Jason and Don singing. I think I saw, you know, some guys over here, Jimmy. I saw you. I mean, it moves you, doesn't it? That's a good song. That's where Jesus called us to live, right? That's the movement he wants to make in us. Thanksgiving is not just saying that we all, saying what we thought was right to say. Thanks. Yeah, that's good. Scripture calls us to something deeper. We have a song we used to sing called "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One." And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. That's good. It's got to go deeper. It's really looking at God in the eye and naming, saying, yeah, one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other, and going on and on and on. And I want to tell you, when you begin this exercise, when you begin it, you don't have enough time in a day to do it. You do not have enough time in a day to tell God thank you for everything you have. You don't have enough time in 2 days or a week or a month. And so somewhere along the line, it's supposed to hit us. Are you kidding me, God? You're so good to me. Man, I remember my grandma. I remember my grandpa. I remember that lady at church. I remember my teacher. I remember having food to eat. I remember. And it's supposed to move us into something. It's supposed to move us into freedom, great appreciation, an overwhelming sense of gratitude that says, I don't care what's going on in the world today, God's going to make a difference in me. And I don't understand what might be going on with me and you, but you're more important than this mess. You're more important than whatever's standing in our way. You're more important than whatever struggle we have. Man, because God has made this life too great, and it's way too short to live for yourself. Okay, I told you that I had some information for you, some evidence, okay? So we talked about Jesus healing the lepers, which is huge, by the way. Incredible impact for us. But how about this? The University of Massachusetts did research on people who live in thanksgiving and gratitude. I mean, they documented this stuff. They wanted to make a deal about it, so they had them journal and make an effort to not just say it, but to live it. Those who did that were found to exercise more regularly, have fewer physical symptoms, feel better about their lives as a whole, more optimistic about the upcoming week compared to those who didn't. They had daily discussions of gratitude, and the results reported led to higher levels of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, attentiveness, energy, sleep duration, and quality. Come on, are you kidding me? Jesus didn't just say be grateful to him because he deserved it, because he did. He said be thankful because we were made to be thankful people. And I cannot get God right if I'm not thankful, and I cannot get you right. I keep thinking you're nuts, and I keep finding out it's all on me. I keep thinking you're crazy and a little bit whacked and a whole lot selfish, and I find out it's all on me. I think you can't even drive right, and I find out it's all on me. I mean, it's all on me. It's all about how I see him and how I see you. Pressing on, grateful people show more reported lower levels of depression and stress, yet they did not deny or ignore negative aspects in life. It wasn't like they were just happy-go-lucky or, you know, indifferent to everything. They noticed the situations, and they were better for it anyway. Those who talk about, write about gratitude, think about gratitude daily, more likely to report having helped someone with a personal problem or offered emotional support to someone. They found it. They placed less importance on material goods, less likely to judge their own or other successes in terms of possessions accumulated, are less envious of people and of wealthy people, and are more likely to share their possessions with others. And emerging research suggests the daily gratitude practices, thankfulness practices, may have some preventative benefits in warding off coronary heart disease. That's cool. There's more. California Berkeley. If you learn the discipline and not just learn to say it, but it becomes you, like Jesus called us to, stronger immune systems and lower blood pressure, higher levels of positive emotions, more joy, optimism, and happiness, acting with more generosity and compassion. Wow, man, the United States could really benefit from a huge dose of gratitude. Less feeling lonely and isolated. How about this one? 31 ways gratitude benefits you. I'll just list the five categories that these come in: emotional, social, career, health, and personally. There are 31 ways that they have discovered that gratitude benefits you in those areas. And the person who's writing one of these doing some of this research is she calls herself how would you say it? Irreligious. Not a believer, even. I believe, how does she say this? That gratitude spontaneously gives rise to spiritual attribution, helping one feel closer to God or other religious entities. I am irreligious and have found gratitude practices to make my spiritual position difficult. Those moments when I feel intense gratitude make me want to believe in a benevolent God. My solution has always been to redirect my feelings toward Lady Luck. Man, gratitude is in your DNA, man. It is in there. And you can't get God and people right without gratitude. And it is the very beginning of everything. Dr. White says, he's a psychologist, he attacks the other side of it. What's the opposite of gratitude? This is kind of creepy. Apathy. Entitlement. Impatience. Envy, anger, greed, not being generous. worry, all of these things, the opposite, the antonym, the other thing. William Arthur Ward says, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. I got a present for you. I still got it. And 5 years later, I still have it. And I really wanted you to have it. I think it could have changed our relationship. I think it could have made us better with one another. I think the world all around us would have seen the difference. If I give it, you're probably going to think I'm less than you. It's probably going to lift you up over me because you're not very grateful either. Isn't that crazy? Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Silent gratitude, Gertrude Stein, silent gratitude isn't very much help to anyone. Opportunities, relationships, even money flowed my way when I learned to be grateful no matter what happened in my life. Opportunities, relationships, even money flowed my way when I learned to be grateful no matter what happened in my life. Oprah Winfrey. Gratitude, thanksgiving, you are it. It is us. It's what we're made for, man. You can't be right without it. I know the difficulty, man. I know we're going to walk out of here today because I've been that guy. We walk out and we say, I knew that, man. I do it. I know. That's why the world's different today, because we all do it. We all live it so well, man, that this world is all changed and better because it just takes one. And if one of us were doing, it'd be different. Something interesting, whenever, we need to go on. I mentioned how at the beginning of the sermon that being thankful, living in gratitude can change the world and this church. Two scenarios. Imagine a man or a woman who is a child of God and they live the way it's called to live. And imagine them in their home. Imagine them at their job. Imagine their children, their employees, or their coworkers. Imagine them at the market. Imagine them at ball games. Imagine them when other kids are better at sports than their kids. Imagine how they deal with it. Imagine them in controversy, conflict, issues, man, how they deal with it. Imagine them as members of your church. Imagine them as wonderful servants, leaders of ministry, or those who know they're not leaders, and that's okay, because God called us all to something. Imagine them as a deacon, an elder, a minister, a worship leader. What's it look like? Generous, lovely, beautiful, kind, healthy. Imagine the other way. Imagine a person who is a family member who don't live in gratitude, who lives in the opposite of gratitude. Imagine them as a family member, a parent. Imagine them as an employee or a coworker. Imagine them as someone in the community. Imagine them at the grocery store. You've seen them everywhere, man. Imagine them at the supermarket, at the stores. Imagine them at ball games. Imagine them right here in your church. Imagine them as a member over ministry. Imagine them as a deacon or an elder or a minister or a worship leader. Imagine them as children, entitled, selfish, angry. The one is so generous and so loving. The other is so tight and not generous, not kind, always doubting, always micromanaging. Man, God has called us to be generous and free. Everything we have is His. It never was ours. It has always been His. And He's called us to be generous and free with it. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is your will for God in Christ Jesus. Would you pull the last scripture up? Rejoice always. It's a big word, man. It hints that there's joy inside, right? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus. You think the world wouldn't be different? Starting with me personally, then my family and this church, the community and the world, if I lived like this, and how much it would just stay the same if I just keep doing what I'm doing. He who has an ear, let him hear. I think this is a pretty big deal. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for this time. And Father, as we wrap up the message, we know that you're not finished with it. And God, I pray that you would help us to humble ourselves before you so that you could lift us up. Father, help us to be good seed today. Too often, Father, I hear the message and I know what's right to do. And I'm nothing more than the path or the rocky or the thorny soil. I walk out, I know it's right, and I don't do anything about it. But God, we know this gratitude thing is way too big a deal. You're so good to us, and you deserve it. The church is so right for us, and they deserve it. And the world is so beautiful and wonderful and so in need of you and us, and they deserve it. Father, I just need it in my life to be healthy and right. Draw us near to you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. If you need to respond in any way, there'll be an elder on either side of the auditorium. You can respond to him. They will be glad to immerse you if you need to become a child of God, or if you want them to pray for you and encourage you, man, they're really good at that as well.